Blog Talk Radio. everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. That's Leon Haywood. I want to do something freaky to you. And tonight's show is going to get a little freaky, I imagine, because tonight's topic is from porn watcher to porn addiction. Which one are you? You know, it's a lot of porn sites and things like that on the internet, and might have a cabinet full of porn movies at home. We're going to talk about that tonight. First, I want to say, hope everybody's having a beautiful day today. And spring is right around the corner. With that being said, I'm going to say good evening to all my co-hosts. Are you all there? Hello?
Yes, good evening.
Yes.
Hello, all.
Okay. Yeah, well, let me see. Okay, from hamster to Pornhub to ghetto gangers to cum dumps, on tonight's show, we will be discussing how you can tell if you are just a casual porn watcher or flat-out porn addict, with facts and figures that will tell you about yourself and your mate and your viewing habits. Also, if you really think you have a serious problem, we will be sharing information for you to seek help. Although quite a few people don't think they have a problem, well, listen up, be honest with yourself, and then decide. So I'm going to share a few porn addiction statistics with you just to give you an overhaul view of just how big porn and its effects is. 40 million Americans are regular visitors to porn sites. Every second, $3,075.64 is being spent on pornography. 2.5 billion emails a day are pornographic. One in three porn viewers are women. And speaking of women porn viewers, it's noted that most start off by watching a softcore porn movie for entertainment. We check out a pornography site out of curiosity. We watch porn with our husbands to improve our marriage. It starts out innocently enough, but these actions have resulted in 17% of women, including Christian women, becoming porn addicts. Now, yeah, you know, it goes to show that it's not discriminatory. It's not just for people who have those types of mind that are, you know, just wanting to watch porn or, you know, like I said, being curious. Because the first time I saw a porn, well, any type of porn, and I would say it could be in a book, but tonight we're talking about pornography. But the very first time I saw something I would consider as pornography was in a book. And I remember it because my dad used to bring these books home, and he would call himself hiding them. And I don't know how I particularly ran across this one book that he had, but it had pictures in it of, you know, different things that, you know, couples were doing, or it was men, I didn't see any men on men, but women on women, and, you know, men and women, you know. So that sort of, like, got my little hormones and racing and, you know, trying to figure out what was going on. I think I was maybe about 14 or 13 when I really saw it. And then when I turned, 15 or 16 was when I saw my first pornography tape. And back then they had it like, was on reels. It wasn't like, you know, the reel that they play in the movies. It was like on a reel. It wasn't like a CD or anything like that. It was on a reel. This guy had set up this reel. And we didn't know. It was me and my girl. He was at my girl's house. And her brother was a little bit older. So they were all downstairs. We was upstairs. And they called us downstairs. And, oh, my goodness. And back then it was, you know, black and white. But, you know, pornography can be very harmful, depending on how a person's outlook of it is. And, you know, over the years I watched it, but it got to a point where it wasn't exciting or stimulating to me anymore because it basically was the same things. They were doing the same things over and over. So what I started doing is taking, like, lessons from different things to incorporate in my sex life. So that's how I view porn today. And I haven't seen a porn tape in a while because, like I said, they basically are all the same. And not unless they can change them up, I've seen them with animals. And no, that is the worst, because what happened, I saw this maybe about I'm going to say maybe about 15 years ago, one of my coworkers had bought this tape to work, and it was on a VHS tape. And the name of it was McDonald's Farm. So that was the name of it, was McDonald's Farm. And, you know, bought it and, you know, was talking about it. So I said, well, can I see it? And I've never seen, you know, Sex with Animals before. So I brought it home, put it in. I could not watch it all the way through. It was sickening.
Was it like Two Girls, One Cup?
Hmm?
Was it disgusting, like Two Girls, One Cup kind of gross?
I
think anything fucking animal should be gross.
Because this one, they had these two girls, they had this dog, right? And they had like a picnic basket. They was running down the road. The dog was, you know, running behind them. Then as soon as the girl put the blanket down, before she could put the blanket down, the dog was on her, jumped on her back. It was humping. Then the next day she was sucking, you know, having oral sex with the dog.
The little thing is only about like the size of a pinky top.
It was just so. And then, but this was the clincher. This guy, he was having sex with a chicken. That chicken, was going, it sounded like the chicken was in such distress because it was going, wah, 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 wah.
No.
I said, oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
Then he had sex with a cow. And the cow urinated on him.
God.
I mean, that was the last thing. I had to turn it off. I don't even know what else came after that. But it was just so sickening to see, you know, animals and humans engaging in sexual acts. It's just, you know, that was just too much for me, you know. And then, like I said, it's really nothing different that they're doing in these porn movies besides sucking and licking and, you know, it's the same thing over and over and over.
But you know what? As much as it turns you off, it turns on somebody.
Right. I know.
That's the crazy part. And, I mean, like, you got to think about, like, there's child pornography and there's all kinds of, like, fetishes. But, you know, they're making them for somebody.
Right.
They're selling.
Now, I've never seen child pornography, and I really don't ever want to see
I don't condone that. But that's, like, bestiality. I mean, that's, like,
right.
the things that, like, how I just, there's no, you know, if you were watching that kind of stuff, there's a screw loose or something.
Yeah. And I can't understand, you know, men go all the way over to Thailand and places like that to engage in sexual activities with children, then they film it, you know. So I think that is sickening. That is sick. They have all types of porn. They have porn snuff films where you know, people actually kill people in these films. Some of them, they do it fake, you know, but some of them, it actually happens. You know, it's just out of hand, you know. And then the fact that women, 1 in 3 porn viewers are women.
Oh, yeah, I love porn.
Well, you know, it's nothing, you know, if that's your thing, you know, because at one point I, you know, like I said, it doesn't stimulate me anymore like it used to. And as far as me learning anything more from it, I don't think there's any more that I can learn from it because, like I said, they're just doing the same thing over and over and over. Now, if they could come up with something new or something different, you know, maybe I would be interested in it. But
would you be interested
in
it if it was like a storyline instead of just like just straight sex? Would you be interested if it was like a more of a storyline movie and then they just happen to have sex? But
it's a full-out
porn.
Right. That would be better if there was a storyline because I'm not going to call this particular person's name, but they had a show, and it was like porn. You know, it was a television series, but it was porn, soft porn, and it had like a storyline to it, so I could watch something like that. But, you know, just as soon as the first scene come open, the woman, she's giving the man head. And that's another thing. It's always the woman that's, you know, giving the man head, and she gives it to him for hours and hours and hours. And then when he goes down on her, it's like, bip, bam, thank you, ma'am, that's it. You know, so, I mean, it's just something that I'm not really too turned on that much more about it. You know, but like I said, coming up, my little hormones was racing, being exciting, and, you know, seeing these different things. It was like really, you know, something to, you know, look at.
Right. Well, I like, you know, I have my blog, of course, pinkbunny420.blogspot.com. I write short stories, poems, whatever, of very sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like my writing is porn on paper.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's like that, too, because they have, like I said, my dad used to bring these books home, and I would, you know, find them and read them. And I'm imagining in my mind, you know, just what these things are that they say that they're doing, you know. So that's really what had got me into writing erotic stories when I, you know, got old enough, you know, to start writing them. But, you know, and just the when you put erotic and porn together, you know, sometimes, because some of my stories, I will admit, they are a little pornographic, but I try to be more erotic with them, you know, so you can have something to, like, imagine, opposed to saying dick or pussy, you know, you could say something like the Velvet V or her heat, you know, things like that. But, you know, when you mix it up, it could be very fiery, very good, you know. But, yeah, there is a lot of porn. Have points that are pornographic, you know, and but I think the most ones that people are stimulated by is the visual.
Even like something as simple as, like, you know, they have a website called Bang Brothers where people in a van drive around, they have sex with women, and they basically just kick them out of the van, thinking that they're going to pay, these girls thinking they're getting paid, you know, and that's what porn is reduced to. Just something that simple and just ignorant.
Wow.
Just for the thrill of the visual.
Hmm.
Bangbrothers.com. It's crazy.
Yeah, there are a lot of sites. They have ghetto gaggers and cum dumps, and
it really it really takes away from sex, period.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
at the same time,
because
I want to see it.
Yeah, because like I said, at one point it was stimulating to me, you know, but now it's, you know, and, you know, I used to date this guy.
Hello?
At one point. Hello?
Oh, sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah.
My bad, I'm go ahead. I'm so sorry and wrong to interrupt your story. It's so interesting. My phone is bugging.
Uh-oh, man down.
No,
that's
man
okay.
Up.
Well, like I was saying, I was, you know, I dated this guy at one point, and every time we would, well, first, you know, we would go to his place, and he would put in a porn tape, and, you know, it was okay. But then it got to a point where I got tired of it, because if he was using that to turn himself on, you know, it made me feel that, what am I there for? You know, and then he would even watch it, you know, while we were, you know, having sex. And I just said to myself, you know, something's wrong with this picture, because why do you have to watch porn and we're supposed to be, you know, engaging in a sexual activity? So needless to say, he got to be number X, gone.
He was outie.
Yeah, because, I mean, I can't, when I'm engaging in sexual activity, that's what I'm engaging in. I don't like any music playing. I don't you know, the only type of music I like is meditation music. No, I like meditation music, but, you know, a song playing, because you know what? I'll end up singing that song.
Then you ain't focused.
That's what I'm talking about. That is exactly what I'm talking about.
Hold on,
baby.
This is my song. Hold on. I got to get the chorus. Hold on.
I just like to focus on exactly what I'm doing, you know, because me and a friend we were having, and some music was playing, and he was getting ready to sing. I said, I wish you would. wish you would bust a
you
note
are distracted
up
like a mug.
Yeah, because that's a distraction as far as now meditation music, like the sea breeze or birds chirping or something like that. That's, you know, I can deal with that, you know, because it relaxes me and it puts me in a place right there. You know,
I mean, I don't know, because, like, when I know there's music, when I put music on, like, we'll put the TV on the TV, the music station channel, and And then I can, you know, I'm engaging in acts, and I totally zone out. Like, you couldn't pay me to tell you what's, you know, 10 songs that were playing while, you know, I have no idea because I just zone out. I don't even hear it. So if there was a porn on, I would just zone out and not even look at it. Now, if my man is looking at porn while I'm doing the business, now that's a problem. He got to go. But
yeah,
it kind of does get you in that mood if you're like, oh, I don't really feel like it. And then you see, you know, someone engaging in it. Then you're like, well, maybe just for a little while. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
I don't know.
I think it's a very good stimulator.
I play with the rhythm. Like, I like to play around. So,
right,
of course, if it's a fast song, I try to keep up with the
beat.
Oh,
my goodness.
Like, you're dancing, right?
Right. I'm twerking on the dick while I'm still grinding on the dick.
Exactly.
So,
oh, no.
I don't want to get graphic, but, you know, the bobbing in the head gets to the beat.
No, I can't because... Like I said, I was almost getting ready to sing a song. And I said, what in the world is going on?
Wow.
That's not good.
You know, and then, you know, like you said, like you had mentioned Pink Bunny, it is stimulating. Now, if we're watching a porn before we engage, you know, like building it up or whatever, then we turn the television off. That's something different. But for the television to be on, hearing these people moaning and groaning and, you know, or even if it's the sound is down, but him watching it, no, that's not going to work.
So with go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's all right. So with all the porn watching, has anybody had any adverse, you know, effects from, has it made you, like, you know, has it desensitized you to, like, you know, actually being intimate with the person that you're with?
No.
I don't think I didn't hear the last part of the question.
No, I was wondering, like, okay, it's like if you, I mean, different things turn all of us on. And so if porn becomes a staple in your everyday, you know, ritual to get you to that special place,
right,
then, you know, how much does that...
Oh, you're
going
to say, like, if you need it to get off.
Right, need it to get off. And, like, you know, once you start to watch something, it's just like, they call marijuana the gateway drug, right? Marijuana,
mm-hmm,
leads, you know, supposedly,
uh-huh,
I don't know,
mm-hmm,
leads to other bigger and badder drugs. I mean, I think,
mm-hmm,
that's bullshit. You do what you want to do, you know. Nothing dictates your actions but you, unless, you know, you have, you know, mental problems. So
right,
with that being said, do you think that, you know, sometimes so much porn being watched actually takes you to places that you didn't want to, you know, go to? So, like, you may watch something and then it intrigues you, but that seed is planted. So do you think, like, that looks like something I told myself I wouldn't try, but it doesn't look that bad?
Oh, like, okay, so it opens the door. It's like, oh, look, honey, she's doing it, she's liking it. Why don't you try that?
Yeah.
Or in some
well,
it's not always the guy. Sometimes females, because guys are more apt just to watch an act that they say
right,
they would never do. Well, females will, after a while, become more open-minded to doing an act they said they'd never do.
Well,
plus, you know,
it's
always fun to mimic what they're doing to
mm-hmm,
feel better.
So right,
like
if that's your thing, because
yes, I'm all about that.
About what?
Right.
What you all about, Pink Bunny?
Competition. Try to outdo the porn.
Yeah. Well, what had got me involved in oral sex was me watching porn. And I guess it was more of a curiosity type of thing because, you know, just watching them, how they did it, and, you know, how these men, well, of course they were acting, but, you know, just seeing the enjoyment and the pleasure that these men were enjoying. And I got to thinking, you know, should I do it or shouldn't I do it? But when I got into a relationship, I like was in my, I think I was like 23 when I first did it. And the reason why I had did it that particular time was because the guy who I was in a relationship used to always do it to me. But he never asked me to, you know, reciprocate or anything like that. But I just felt that, you know, this is my time to reciprocate and do what I wanted to do. This is, you know, something that I had seen and I had wanted to do for a while. So then, you know, I did. And, you know, watching the tapes over and over to perfect my skills, you know.
Yep, that's what I started watching when I was itty bitty. Like, I remember mm-hmm. being like 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, okay, well, if I'm going to do it one day, I'm going to do it right. Let me research.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because that's what, you know, that's after I said, because after a while, they just got to the point where I was just using them basically to learn a skill. And, you know, once I learned that skill, you know, learned things from it, it was like they didn't stimulate me or anything like that, because I'd be watching him and then the guy, he's trying to put his arms all around me and I'm moving his hand off. He said, "Well, you ain't turned on." I said, "Turned on from what? What are they doing that's so spectacular now?" You know, after I've seen everything, you know, but, you know, people still are turned on by them and people are still stimulated by them. And people even use them when they are still engaged in sex, when they're having their sexual activities, people still, you know, are watching the tapes and mimicking things off of the tapes. But, you know, like, I think I'm done with them because I've learned as much as I could, and I've seen some of the best, like Janet Jack May. She's good. I don't know all of their names, but, you know, from the ones that I did watch, you know, and learn from them, they, you know, were really good.
Well, I have a favorite. I like Jenna Jameson only because they have like a little cheesy storyline. You know, if she's on Mars and she's screwing a Martian, that's funny, but then they get to the business and she's not like the fake mooning, like, oh, you know, you can tell when they're totally faking. But
she
at least puts a little bit of love in her work.
Right, because it's basically, it's all acting. It's definitely all acting, because I saw a documentary on, I forgot what channel, and they were saying how they would give them drugs and alcohol and all these kind of things to get them in the mood to do it. And they said that the women barely had orgasms. Well, never had orgasms. The men did, you know. And a lot of them was forced into pornography, you know. Mm-hmm. But and then why are these older women in their 40s trying to or wanting to be porn stars?
Midlife crisis? Midlife crisis?
Yeah, because it was a couple of ladies on the day, and this lady, and she said, I raised my kids. I'm 42 years old. Now I want to be a porn star.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't think
list.
Of any? Huh?
Maybe it was on her bucket list. The porn star. Check.
That's what that is. Like, they had their own category. They're called MILFs. MILFs.
Yes.
That's part of a fetish that people probably want to see. I don't know who wants to see somebody 60 and 60.
Yeah,
days,
that old, because, you know, once your boobs start sagging and, you know, things start going south, I mean, it's time for you to, you know, hit the gym or whatever, but why are you just so stuck on being a porn star? Don't get me wrong, and they do have all shapes and sizes of porn stars, but people who are just starting out, you have to realize that in order for you to get to these people that are high in that type, you're going to go through all types of changes. You know, it's not like you're just going to go out there, because this one woman said that her and her husband used to make porn videos, and her husband died, so she wanted to start a business of being a porn star, and she wanted to sell the tapes that her and her husband made, and she guarantees that she can do things to you that'll make you, you know, go off and all this stuff. And what she was bragging, you know.
I can't hate on that. I really can't, because, I mean, if her husband died and her kids are grown and there's an industry for it, I mean, I would do it too. I mean, if I knew that it wouldn't come back on me, like, I'm going to be a porn star, I'm not going to try to be president or something crazy like that, when, you know, my man is not around and, he's dead, and my kids are grown, hell yeah, and I can get paid for it to have sex, yeah, I'm down. So if she wants to have, I mean, she's 40, you know, there's industry.
42. She's 42.
Yeah, okay, I mean, when, but she's 42, Halle Berry 42. You never know.
Yeah, but you said Halle Berry?
Halle Berry's 40-something. She's, you know, maybe it's not like 42
yeah,
is still good.
I imagine Halle Berry would get a call before this particular lady that was on the show today. But, you know, like I said, they have them in all sizes and shapes, porn stars. But, you know, getting those categories.
Octomom had a porn, a self-pleasuring, how to pleasure yourself porn. But they paid her, and they paid her a lot. So if someone wants to see Octomom with the 8 kids.
Oh, Octomom. Oh, yeah, she did. I did hear something about her doing some type of.
Wait, no, she has 14 kids.
Wow.
And they,
well, she had to do something because she needed money. She definitely needed some money really bad.
There's a new show on Lifetime I just heard about it today called Preacher's Daughters, I think it's
Preacher's
called.
Preacher's Daughter, I saw that.
Where the girl wants to be a porn star or she
mm-hmm.
was suspect of being wanting to be a porn star. It's all about attention. It's
right.
Like if you are always looking for attention, which I know a lot about, then you might want to do porn because, you know, sex sells. People are always like, yeah, I see you. You know, so that's what is the draw. Maybe not the draw of having actual sex on film. It's the attention.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a
and
couple
so
of callers.
What,
huh?
I'm going to get to the callers.
Okay. Caller 219-292, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am. I'm here.
You have a question or comment?
I'm just listening to the young lady talking about the 42-year-old. That was today. That was on
Bill Cunningham.
Yeah, Bill Cunningham. It's one thing. A 42-year-old wants to do what she wants to do. It's no problem. You know, because they have the videos out here of senior citizens, 60, 70, 80 years old, still having sex. And people buy that stuff because those are fetishes. You know, you mentioned about Halle Berry. That young lady that was on television today, that 42-year-old, you have guys who would call her before they would call Halle Berry. And that's
for
me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because she think about it, because see, people think a pretty face sells sex. No, it doesn't. Sex itself sells sex. Regardless of what you look like, if you can perform, it's going to sell. And a person
that's true. That's true, because I said it comes in every size, shape, and color. So it really doesn't matter.
Can I just make a saying that as beautiful as Halle Berry is, and she really is, if you really look closely at her lips, they're very, very little. And let's just point out the fact that she can't keep a man. So my conclusion is the blowjobs are horrible. They're probably very cheesy.
Well,
and
yeah,
she needs to watch some porn to get some lessons.
Because, you know, it's like a lot of guys say, if they're going to get some head, they want a woman who knows how to, who can suck a golf ball through a water hose.
Amen.
You know, that's the way it is. And, you know, and I'm quite sure a female will feel the same way about a guy, you know, doing that to her. And, you know, I know a female doesn't want a man down there chewing on her because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Ouch.
Oh, yes, ouch. And the same
yeah,
thing
that's
man.
True.
Oh, wow, that stuff hurts.
Yes, it does.
You know, but Halle Berry, like I said, me, myself, I wouldn't even give her a second look. And
stop. Okay, cool. You was
he says that now because she ain't around, but let her pop up.
I don't even mean to cut you off, dude.
Whatever you want
to
do.
I don't mean to, though.
This is my motto. You can go to my webpage. It's called Voluptually Yours. And it definitely is Halle Berry. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I wouldn't give her a second look.
I hear you
I wouldn't give her a second look.
Okay, I hear you talking, and it really sounds good for people that's willing to believe that even if she was the worst head giver in the world, she's 40 and she's still, like, you know, killing the competition. And the fact alone that it's just Halle Berry and it's a star, you would at least give it a second look. Now,
Go ahead.
You know, you say you wouldn't give him a second look. I mean, like, you give, I don't know you personally, but speaking from a male perspective, you probably give stuff a second look that's not even on the same radar as Halle Berry's, you know, hairdresser. I'm not knocking your taste, but, you know, I can't see you putting something that bad down. Even if she gives bad head, even if she drives erratic on the 405, even if she can't keep a man, at least she gets one, you know what I'm saying, to lose one.
See, the thing about what I'm saying, I wouldn't give Halle Berry a second look. First off, she's too small. That's just something that if it don't float your boat, you're not going to look at it. And she is one. Yeah, she's a nice-looking woman, true enough. She's not in that category of voluptuously yours. That's all I'm saying. I wouldn't give her a second look. And as far as, like, trying to get head from her because of she's on a radar, her being on a radar means nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because when these stars are out there like that, Halle Berry, or if it's a male, anybody, man, they sleep with so many different people around the world, it's pathetic.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That's why these stars, I guarantee you, name me some stars of today right now who are married, who has been married for 40 years or 30 years or 20. They change partners left and right.
Well, Denzel and Paulette still married. But let's get back onto to the topic and whatnot. And the topic is about porn use. And you sound like you
okay.
And I have no problem because I love thick women. Don't get me wrong. I get your gift.
I didn't
get you knocking Halle Berry, but I love a thick woman because you can do more with her. And in the wintertime, your heat bill is down because you can just pull her on top. So that was
hey.
Tough. So that being
you know what, I
only went
like
up on the Halle Berry thing because, you know, I'm keeping it real. If she walked down the street, you didn't turn your head. But let's get back to I guess you didn't see dog on Swordfish. Let's get back to the topic. It's about porn. Let me ask you, how much porn do you watch? Because I'm assuming we all on the show because you like porn to a certain degree.
Well, when I was married, my ex-wife and I, yeah, we looked at porn all the time. And see,
okay.
Now I'm divorced and single, I don't look at it. You know, that stuff, something like that, by myself, I can't look at. But if I'm married, you know, just say have that significant other and she likes to watch, yes, I will watch. I have no problem with that. But as
okay,
of right now,
so- is there any particular reason that you don't enjoy your alone time by yourself, your remote control, your computer or DVD?
Oh, yeah, I love the computer, the remote and DVDs, but watching porn alone, no, not at all.
All right.
Oh, well,
I'm not going to say I have never done it. I have done it, but, you know, it's, as of right now, it's like, no.
So it's safe to say that you're a casual porn watcher and not an addict, it's safe to say, correct?
Right. You can say casual every now and then.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it. But beforehand, oh, yeah, I watched it all the time.
Right. Well, I guess the benefit of the show is, like, you know, helping people, you know, in a fun and entertaining way for the people that has problems. And like I said, if people do watch porn, you know, that's on you, you know. I mean, because we all have, you know, in one way or another, we have stumbled across porn, and, you know, we may stumble across it more times than not, you know. So you can't pass judgment. I mean, whatever works for you, whatever gets you through life.
Right. See, that's one thing. I would never pass judgment on anyone because I know I have done it. So I can't knock a person for what they do because I've done it.
Right.
And I know in the past, or just say like now, people who watch porn, just like I did, you know, you watch the porn to, you know, learn different techniques, you know, seeing if that's something that you would like to, you know, delve into, you know, it's like all those initials, or that S&M, B&D, and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you watch those porns to see if that's what you would like to do with your partner. And if it doesn't turn you on or turn your partner on, then you find something else. And I think that's what people started watching porn for, maybe, in one case.
Mm-hmm.
I did learn some different things, you know, because there were some things that I learned and I still do them right now today, and it came from porn movies.
Right.
But like I said, I would not knock anybody for watching it. If I was to walk in a room and somebody was watching it, I might sit down and watch it with them.
Right. Yeah, that's happened to me at a party. Like, there was like a house party, and then they had porn on in the basement. So you know what was going on downstairs, and that set the mood.
Well, we have another caller. I'm going to bring this other caller in. 323-602, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you have a question or comment?
Hi, how y'all doing? Yeah.
I'm okay.
I'm Rico Steele, by the way. And I do porn. So.
All right.
Yeah, and What my man is saying is like, okay, just think of the name. It's Halle Berry. I don't care if it's she got small lips. Halle Berry. You're going to get a second look at her. I don't care what you say. It's Halle Berry. Thick, thin.
I mean, he's saying that of course he's going to look at her, but he's not attracted to her type sexually.
Right. She's
well,
not
I'm
his type.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm attracted to thicker women. That's just me. That's what I prefer, because more push it for the cushion. You can do more things, like my man said with the other guy. He said you can do a lot of more things with them. Yes, you can. They can say, if, I don't know if I can say dick, but they can say more, you know, penis than skinny girls. That's my opinion.
Let me ask you a question, Rico. You said that you do porn.
Yes, BBW porn.
Was it from you watching porn or you just do it? How did you get involved in
actually,
doing it?
I was watching porn when I was little. I used to sneak and look at my uncle's tape. How you know you get caught, you didn't rewind it back to his part. You know? You remember when they used to be on cassette?
Yeah.
Right.
VHS, yeah.
And, you know, I was like, oh, I can do that for sure. Then, you know, getting into the game, this is like, well, man, okay. It's a lot harder. Then it, you know, it looks.
So what makes it harder than what it looks?
Because, you know, you got all these, okay, sometimes you can't, oh, you think you can go, oh, I can do that better than him. But, you know, you got to position yourself right. You can't just, you know, you got to look good on the camera. It's not just you.
I'm hearing some background noise. If you have your television up or anything like that, can you please turn it down? Or if you have the computer on, turn it off.
Well, you got to think of those, too. Those porn, there's like 5 or 6 people in the room watching you. So,
yeah.
I mean, that has to be a little creepy.
Right.
Well,
you
have to be a hell of an exhibitionist. That's all.
You and that girl and the cameraman. No, you got an audience.
Yeah.
That's
Ray Ray's little brother wants to see from down the street.
Right. So,
Rick, do you have any tapes out?
Yeah, I have my own website. Yeah.
Oh, would you like us to have it?
Plug.
Yeah, it don't matter. It's www.ricostillxxx.net.
Rico Stills.
Yes.
S P E L L S.
S S T E E L E.
XXX.net. Wait a minute. Let me get a pen that writes so I can write this down. Okay, just spell it out for me. Hold on. And would you know I can't find a pen that writes? Let's see here.
Yeah, I actually just landed in New York, so my bad. And I just seen on your Facebook that called in. Okay.
Spell that out for us slowly.
R-I-C-O. S-T-E-E-L-E XXX.net.
All right.
Okay, that's Rico Spiel, S-T-E-E-L-E XXX.net.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And a lot of people, you know, they ask me, how did you get into porn?
Mm-hmm.
It's on me. Websites out, you know, where you could just easily, you know, sign up. There's so many people that's trying to do it, but it's hard to get in, and it's easy to get out. Because
you say it's hard to get in and easy to get out?
Yeah. Because you don't, you know, you got competition. And there's, you know, a lot going on. And then, you know, where the topic was, you know, the porn thing. Porn is, you know, really wasn't one of my first choices, just to be honest. And
so,
porn,
so
know,
that's
I
like your job.
Right. So you got to, you know, it's basically like work. You got to keep promoting yourself, and you got to have all these people kind of, you know, be in contact with these people and trying to see who you could shoot with or who you, you know, who wants to shoot with you, stuff like that. It's hectic.
So let me ask you a question. What are some of the more names, or have you, what's the most famous name, you know, that you've worked with in the adult industry?
You ever heard of Hershey Ray?
Hershey Ray.
Hershey Ray. I've worked with a young lady out of D.C., Mocha.
I've heard of her.
There are 2-3 Mochas out there. There's a couple of them.
And, you know, it's just, you know, a lot of other, you know, amateur companies and stuff like that. You know, it's not.
Okay. So have you been asked to do porn, or are you up to doing porn that's not your sexual preference? Or so the question I'm asking, you know, would you be with, like, you know, do a bisexual scene? Would you sleep with a she-male?
I'm a real person. I have done she-male porn. I have. And that's no lie.
Would you do male on male porn?
No, we would not.
Wouldn't she male and male be male on male?
Yeah.
There's really no difference. It's still a male.
Right, because a she male. Now these she males, do they still have their male anatomy?
Yes.
They're still there. That's because they're the she male.
That's why they're called the she.
That's why they're called she.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Like a woman on top and a man on the bottom.
Oh, okay.
So then what is the difference of doing it with the she male
opposed to doing it with the male? Because the only difference I can see is a she male may have breasts and a man doesn't. So how is that justified?
Because I'm more attracted to females. So by it being a female in a presence, but at the same time, when you look down, be like, you know, okay, it says top half, okay, oh, okay, gorgeous, okay,
so,
got nice breath, and then you get down, and it'd be like, dun, 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 like, damn, okay.
Okay, so, the reason I ask this is because I'm going somewhere with this line of questioning, you know, let me say this first of all. I don't pass judgment on anybody. Whatever you do, that's, you know,
right.
On you. Look, he's his own. So when I ask the question, please do not take it personal. I'm just trying to, like, you know.
Oh, no, not at all.
I'm trying to help people that, you know, don't understand the energy or might have a problem. So when you was, you know, a little boy or whatever the case may be, I'm pretty sure you hung around other men and you had that conversation, like things you would never do in life. And I'm pretty sure that conversation went to along the lines of, I'll never be with another man. And I know how you just described a female. And, you know, whatever floats your boat, whatever works for you, that's all cool, fine, and dandy. So, my question is, what led you?
Before girls.
Say again?
I was having sex with a TS. When I say TS, transsexual, before genetic women.
So your first encounter was with
a
TS? Yes.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So So have you always considered, do you consider yourself what, gay, bi, or what?
At this moment, I'm straight. But at the current time, you know, people say, oh, you're still bisexual. But I'm in a relationship with a genetic female. Actually, I'm engaged. And, you know, I consider myself as a straight male. But at the same time, you know, I'm not even going to lie. I still look at them. I still have friends. I still have all my friends. But at the same token, I would never go back to that part of me. Because being with a female, you know, you get a lot, you know. I love my fiance to death. And, you know.
Is there certain aspects that, you know, hurt people that watch it too much, and do you think that you contributed to that?
Say again?
I said, do you think there's certain aspects in the porn industry, once people watch it too much, that, you know, hinders them. Like, you know, because people do what they do for, they become addicted to things because they're trying to fill a void in their life. Like, you'll come, you have a hard day at work, and you'll come home and you have a shot of Jack or, you know, a shot of Ciroc or something. And you do it every day, just one shot. I said, why? You find yourself every time you're feeling bad or you're feeling down, you're drinking liquor. So, you know, porn addiction works the same way. Every time you get off work or every time that you have an argument or every time something's not going your way, you find yourself in front of the computer, you find yourself, you know, trying to have that release. And so you think that you were more open-minded doing the things that you did in porn because you were trying to fill a void in your life?
No, you know, I was just, I'm a freak. I'm, you know, put that out there. I'm a freak. I mean, I love women, and then at the point in time, I was more into transsexuals than anything. At the point of, that was, I was like 18, 19, 20. I'm now 25. I've been with my fiance for the last 3 years. Before, you know, me and her first got together, I let her know what I was doing. You know, I didn't keep no secrets from anybody or anything like that. You know. Because when you start off with a lie, you got to continue with that lie, you know?
Mm-hmm. And, that you know, not make her decision.
Exactly. So, you know, like I told her, you know, it's your choice. You're going, I would rather you hear it from my mouth than someone else.
Are you still doing porn?
I'm now, right now, doing my own production company. I have my own website coming out now. Besides the one I gave you, I have my own production company, you know, my own website that's coming out. And I have a few people, you know, from a little bit all over, big names that's going to be featured on my website. I'm going to be behind the camera, not on camera.
Oh, so you're going to be doing your own, like, thing, huh?
Yeah.
That's where the money is.
Yeah.
Yeah, production is definitely where money is. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, how long have you been in porn?
I started around 20. Yeah.
So 5 years.
Huh? I started off as BBW porn.
You said BBW porn?
BBW, yes.
Yeah, BBW, yes. Indeed.
What's that?
Big, beautiful women.
Women.
There ain't nothing wrong with that, you know.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. I love me a thick woman.
That's why I say voluptuously yours. You know,
I'm telling you.
That's where it says.
Ain't nothing like a thick woman that could cook and clean. Yeah, that's the shit.
That's what they say.
Well, I'm going to read off the poem.
You want to do what now?
Who was speaking? Was somebody saying something?
Yeah, I was just saying, you said you were going to do something. I was just like, you said you're going to do what now?
I'm going to read off a little bit of information. And then we'll get back into the conversation. We'll take it from there. When a woman's porn addiction is exposed, some social circles scuff and ridicule her worse than they would a man who exposes his addiction. Let's dispense of society's belief that decent Christian women are above watching porn and only loose women are into that sort of thing. This is not a man's disorder anymore. The number of women and teenage girls suffering from pornography addiction is growing. 70% of women who access porn keep it a secret. This percentage will be the next generation of female porn addicts. Female porn addicts are more likely to act out what they see with a partner than a male porn addict. Most women fall into porn addictions out of loneliness. Others fall into it as a side effect from sexual abuse. So, what do you think about that? Because it says that, you know, women who fall into that category generally do it out of loneliness or out of sexual abuse.
I guess I'll go first on that answer. I don't think, I mean, it can be, I guess, each his own, I guess. But for me, speaking for Danny, for me, I do amateur porn myself. So for me, it was never, I didn't get into it to do it because I was lonely. I didn't get into it for attention. I really got in it for money because I knew that the industry was a billion-dollar industry. And I know me, I wasn't never afraid of my body. I love every bit of my curves. And I knew that a lot of men that I've dealt with and that even that's around me love amateur porn. They like to look at. Now, I ain't nobody knocking Halle Berry because I'll look at Halle Berry. Shit, she won't pop. So someone's knocking her. But I know that a lot of men will actually pay to see women like me, big girls with curves, with stretch marks, and kiss the dick. And I knew that if I wasn't afraid of it, I can talk it, I can show you better than I can tell you. So I got into it. So for me, it was just I love to entertain. I love to entertain people. And that was one of my things. And for me, it was never because of loneliness or because I had issues growing up or anything like that. I'm not going to blame anything that I had in my past for what I'm doing now. I mean, I'm old enough to say no, yes, maybe so, but for me, it's not the reason why I got into doing amateur porn or anything. So,
right. Well, it didn't mention, you know, it didn't say that's the cause of every woman, but, you know,
well,
it says more than likely, you know, female porn addicts. And I can almost believe that part of it because, you know, I'm just going to say for myself, when I'm bored, there are things that I do that don't even satisfy my boredom. So something else I may find to do, like I love to read. I may read a book, and it may be a book of erotic short stories, or it may be a book, a mystery book, or something like that. But whatever it takes to satisfy my boredom, that's what I do. And a person who already is a type of maybe it's a woman who watched porn with her husband, and her husband may have died, and she becomes bored, so she know that she liked porn when her husband was living, so she gets back into that. You know, I can see that happening, you know, to a woman. And then sometimes when women are abused, they may go off into watching porn. You know, it's just different things that would trigger those steps, you know, those things that make you engage in those activities as being a porn addict or even, you know, watching porn. So, you know, it's not speaking of all women. That's not how all women are. But some women are. They do it out of loneliness or abuse or, you know, for whatever reason. They were just speaking basically on a little bit of statistics there.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we all know as individuals why we do the things we do. I hope we do, you know, and then if we don't, you know, you need to sit down and do a little bit of evaluation. But, you know, like I said, my reasoning for watching it was when I was coming up, I was exposed to it. And, you know, just over the years, it became like after I saw so much of it, it just was, you know, it's not, it doesn't affect me anymore because I saw everything that I wanted to see, learned from it. And like I said, not unless they're doing something entirely different from the sucking, the kissing, the licking, the...
I mean, yeah, they're doing the same thing, but it's nice to see other different people doing it. Like if you,
right, that is true. That is true. But like I said, if it's like a storyline or something to it like that, you know, that's kind of good too. But just as soon as this thing comes open, you got somebody sucking somebody. Somebody, you know, have a little storyline. Somebody knocking on the door looking for a wrong address or something, and she bites the man in and, you know, take him upstairs and, you know, blow his brains out, you know, with some good head or something, you know. And I think that, you know, that would be more interesting for me. You know, but then you have the people who want to just see it just as soon as you put the tape in, that's what they want to see. You know, everybody has their own opinion and everybody has their own variety of how they want to see things, but that's just me, you know. That's just me. And, you know, like you said,
well,
you see
I like
different
porn.
People.
I just don't like the I don't usually like to see white porn, but I like I said, I like Jenna Jameson. But normally, I don't want to see two white people having sex. Normally,
oh,
I want
no,
to see.
I don't.
My personal
I don't like
collection
the,
is all black.
Right. And I work with this lady at the hospital, and she was an undercover porn addict. She used to ask me, Gail, you got any of those tapes? And I said, what tapes? She said, you know the tapes where, you know, she's been all. So I said, you talking about X-rated tapes? She said, yeah. So I said, yeah. She said, can you bring me one to work tomorrow? So I said, yeah. So I had some white tapes because when I was ordering the tapes, I ordered black tapes, but the company I was ordering from would give you a free tape, and they would send, you know, these white tapes. So I bought her a black tape. So she said, She said, girl, she said, I don't like watching the black tapes. I said, oh, okay. So I got a boatload of white ones. I gave her every white tape that I had because I just don't like to watch them. You know, for
I don't like to see white people because, I mean, I can't relate to white. I see brown. If a guy is hot, I just remove the girl from my head, you know, and I visualize him and I. So you have to be like, if that's what you're attracted to, if that lady didn't like to see black people having sex, hey.
Right. I gave her all the white tapes that I had, you know, but it's just something about, I don't know. And I've dated a white guy before. He was Cuban, but, you know, I just didn't like seeing them. I don't know, just like they had no rhythm or, you know, they was, I just don't know. I just didn't, you know.
I wonder if there's any white callers. Can we talk to them? Anyone? I mean, I know you can't tell from the phone calls, but.
Right,
saying,
but if there are any white callers online or in the chat room, please call in so we can speak with you.
Do you like to watch brown people having sex? Or would you rather watch white people?
Yeah. Are you asking me or you're asking the people that
we
call in?
I'm asking generally, like if people want to see what they're attracted to, you know?
Right. Right. Well, I had white tapes, but I preferred the black tapes. And like when the very first porn that I saw was white people because back then that's, you know, it was just basically white people doing porn, you know? And I do have my favorite porn star, Shawn Michaels. I like Shawn Michaels. And it's another one. I did used to like Mr. Marcus, but he's just terrible. He's spreading syphilis all over the place. Yeah. But Shawn Michaels now, he's a producer. So you don't really get to see him that much in the movies anymore. But he definitely, I saw him and Janet Jackmade in a porn together.
Are you saying her last name right? Are you sure it's not Janet Jackmade?
Janet Jackmade. I think it's Janet Jackmade.
Janet Jackmade.
Janet Jackson.
No, Janet Jackmade.
Oh,
Janet Jackson.
Janet Jackmade. Okay, Janet Jackmade. Yeah. Well, yeah, I saw her and Shawn Michaels do a movie together and took some lessons from
her head.
She did a porn.
She did a porn, and I wanted to see what the big hubbub is and why they call her Super
Right,
porn.
She
and
was
that,
with...
And do nothing that ain't nobody else do.
Yeah, because she did one with, what's that guy's name? I forgot. But she also was with Mr. Marcus, and Mr. Marcus turned her on. I can't think of the guy's name, but yeah, because they were saying how she gave up the bomb head. She's supposed to have been the best out there.
Whack.
You know, but I don't think she's the best. I think she might be running neck to neck with me, but I don't think she's the best.
You think Miss Gail did it?
Hey, don't let Delicious fool you. She's a whole freak. Like, I don't know. She's just coming out of woodwork with stuff. I'm like, I hope I get like that when I get older. Still get freaky as hell. She holds no bars. I like that.
Ooh, but, you know.
I would love to be a fly on the wall when you get to them.
I just can't.
Out the window, you start playing that wind music. You know, I can't do the meditating music, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, 20% of men admit to watching porn at work. 25% of all search engines related requests are pornographic related. That's 68 million a day. The average porn site visit lasts 6 minutes and 29 seconds. The state of Utah has the highest online porn subscription rate at 5.47. The least popular day of the year for viewing porn is Thanksgiving. Hallelujah. The most popular day of the week for viewing porn is Sunday. Isn't that something? Wow. So them preachers be breaking their necks to get home to watch that porn. I better stop saying that. But, you know, Kurt Franklin was addicted to porn.
Yes, I heard that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was addicted. LL Cool J was addicted. You know, they spoke of it. But
I wonder what their definition of addicted is. Like, if you have to watch it every single day, or is it like you said earlier, if you have to watch it to get off?
Well, the way that Kirk Franklin had described it was he was watching it all the time. He was just addicted to it because if you can't wait to get home, and you know, as soon as you get home, the first thing you do is turn it on. You're watching it all day. Then you go to bed, wake up. You know, that's an addiction, and that's serious.
Actually, he wasn't doing much sleeping. He would, when his wife would fall asleep, he would go downstairs and watch porn.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It was when she started complaining that it came to the light.
Mm-hmm. And see, I'm wondering, you know, these men who become addicted to porn, are they also performing, you know, with their wives, or are they just, you know, so inapt or maybe impotent that they can't, so they're watching this porn, you know.
That, I mean, to
like
answer your question, I'm sorry, I mean, it becomes a conflict. Well, that's when you watch porn and whatnot, you don't have, so the typical guy, whoever he marries, you know, unless I have that, you know, honest conversation when you first meet to find out the, you know, the level of sexuality that she's on, you know, 9 times out of 10, she's not on the porn level. And so he tries, and I'm speaking from a male perspective, so he tries to actually, like, I guess, bring her up to speed. And once she finds out the depth of his, you know, addiction, you know, she finds out she can't compete. And then I don't honestly think it's fast, you know, to her to compete if that's not her cup of tea, you know. And then you flip the coin over. You got females, you know, you got some females that can be grossly, you know, bored by their husband. Their husband is just boring to them. And they're boring because their mind is so evolved to the point where, as you know, things in the porn world turn them on, and their husband, you know, not actually doing those things. So that's like a two-way street when you don't have, you know, two people that's evenly yoked sexually. You know, they're always going to butt heads and whatnot. And once you're addicted, it's like, okay, if you constantly watching porn every day, that should get off and whatnot. You can get to the point where it's like you're going to need that physically. And then if you got a wife that doesn't even watch porn, that, you know, for sake of argument, goes to church every Sunday, and she's just, you know, vanilla as a cookie, then, you know, you're looking for problems. The problem is definitely going to arise where, you know, the man or woman will start stepping out on their mate. It just, you can't, you know, because you have to feed that beast. You know, we've had a great show. We kiki'd and cock-eyed a lot, but, you know, all jokes aside and whatnot, you know, if you don't feed that beast and whatnot, you know, it lashes out in other ways. It's broken up, you know, marriages, it's broken up homes. You start having, you know, unrealistic expectations, you know, upon your mate. You know, you become antisocial, you know, because you're always in front of the computer. You know, you don't have no social life. All you do is in front of your TV. I actually, you know, excuse me, in front of your TV or even in front of your computer. I actually wrote a blog called, like, Secondhand Porn. You know, it's gotten to the point now people actually watch porn in public places, you know, on their laptops, on their phones and things of this nature. So, like, you know, we live in a very sexual society, you know. It depends on, you know, my thing is if that's what you want to do and it's not hurting nobody and you're good with the direction that is taking your life, then so be it. But for the people that's like, you know, I have a problem, I like to stop, but I can't, then, you know, the first step to solving any problem is in the midst.
Wow. I'm bringing 219292 your mic back up.
I notice a lot of people who are in relationships. You have one who watches porn and one who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe that one mate wants kinky sex, and they're not getting it from their mate.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to porn, you know, just to get themselves off watching kinky sex. mm-hmm. because their mate won't perform it. Because mm-hmm. I had a friend, you know, he left his wife because she wouldn't let him perform oral, and she wouldn't do it on him. He left her.
Mm. Yes, that's a valid reason.
Excuse me?
That's a very valid reason.
Yeah, because, you know, see, a lot of people do that because that's just like you have people who love anal sex, and the mate won't let them do it, or they're not getting it. So they'll go out, you know, just go to the, you know, just go to a website, all anal, and that's, they sit there and they enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Or well, I can say, you know, we can really get down and dirty with all this type of porn that they have out here with the animals and things of this nature. People like to explore and want to let those animals out of themselves. So they know that they can't do it at home, so, you know, they'll sit there and watch it all day long. You know, you have people out here who let their dogs perform on them, or they'll go in the barn with the horses. And I've seen video where these guys, they were all white, chasing the pigs around the barn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just so they can bump a pig in the run.
Mm-hmm.
And then they make movies out of this stuff.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I don't know. It's like I can't watch anything that I already know that I'm not attracted to. I mean, my curiosity, and I'm not knocking people that did, you know, but my curiosity is not that big. If I pick up a doggone tape and the tape said that, you know, boogieing in the barnyard, I already know what it's about, so I'm not going to pop it in. You know what I'm saying? I'm not passing judgment. I'm on some, y'all have a problem with language, it's late night, and I'm putting away the niceties. So let's trim the fat and get to the meat of the matter. If you stick it to taping and they're doing, you know, things with animals and whatnot, then you have to ask yourself, you know, there had to be a certain amount of curiosity there that made you even want to see it.
Well, see, the thing is, it's not that I wanted to see that stuff.
you know,
people have sex in all walks of life. They have sex. Man, people have sex everywhere. So you said people have sex.
Might
not think
that's two
right,
human beings.
Right.
You didn't say anything about people and animals or me and a dog. I mean, like, how does that work out?
Just let me elaborate. Like at the beginning of a movie, you see a person walking toward a barn. You know it's a porn tape. So you might think there's somebody, another individual in that barn waiting for them. So once they walk in.
And then when you don't see that it's a
dump? And then when you see it's a horse, you turn that garbage off.
Okay, don't clean it up for me. I mean, my thing is, that's your cup of tea. That's your cup of tea.
Don't clean it up for me
if that's what you do tonight. I can't pass judgment.
I'm not cleaning it up. That's what I'm saying. You know, a porn movie come on, you wondering what's getting ready to happen, so you're watching. It doesn't tell you that
it's
animal on human or human on animal. Don't tell you that.
Oh, honey, it do.
Don't. Well, sometimes it does. You know, if you go to a certain website, some of the things are just so messed up and so kinky, you don't know what you're getting ready to see.
You want
to go to a big boob website, so you're thinking you want big boobs. But all of a sudden, here, this woman, they got a horse. And the website is called Big Boobs.
You know, it's late night, and by the grace of God, the kids in the bed, and we all adults here. So once you I'm gonna give you the benefit of the doubt. You didn't type in, you know, let's be technical about it. You didn't type in, you know, certain words into the search engine, and everybody online know what I'm talking about. So you didn't type in certain words, say big boobs or black anal or whatever, and something pops up that you didn't expect. My question to you is, how much of that you had to watch before you knew that, you know, the search engine took you to a wrong spot? And then by you watching that, do you think that you had problems?
As soon as I see an animal, I don't want to see that. Definitely don't.
I mean, like I said, I can't pass judgment on people that, you know, I feel, because it's like my thing is this. If you watch enough porn, it'll get boring. Like, you know, Delicia said that it doesn't turn her on anymore. So what that usually happens with an addict, they'll gravitate to more and more intense porn. It'll go from the standard male and female to group sex. It'll go from group sex to bisex, from bisex to same sex, from same sex to female, from female to animals, things of this nature. So, you know, I mean, once it starts to gravitate, you know what I'm saying, up into that ladder, then I can't pass judgment. But, you know, it's safe to say that if you don't have a problem, then, you know, it's a strong possibility because it went from just regular man and woman into other things. It grew. And like I said, I mean, you know, if that's what you're into, cool, not a problem, that's you. But if it's stopping you from being the best that you can be, because, like, you know, if you sit down and you wasted a whole day in front of your computer, you come home from work, or you, matter of fact, you got it so bad that you didn't even go to work that day. Mm-hmm. You was up all that night.
I don't know anybody like that. I know I'm
right.
But trust me, there are people that are like that.
I'm right. That's taking days off work and just sat in front of their computer. So, you know, you got to ask yourself, like, wow, I need help. I need to stop this madness because it's adversely affecting me. And if you're good, as long as you're not hurting nobody and yourself and you're good with the decision that you're making, more power to you. But you got, last time I checked, it's over 17 million. I hate to be wrong with the stats. The last time I checked, it's over 17 million people that's an admitted addict. And with that being said, they want to stop. But it's just like with any addiction and whatnot, it's hard to stop when the stuff is so accessible. You know,
exactly.
We live in a sexual society. You know, it's no secret when you watch a boxing match, you got the messing girls walking around, you know, with the real short shorts and their butt cheeks hanging out. It's no secret when you watch a basketball game, you know, the Laker girls looking so good. It's no secret when you watch a football game, you got the cheerleaders doing all types of stuff. It's no secret that, you know, during the Super Bowl, they have certain commercials like that that has, you know, a sexual, you know, vibe to it. Because sex sells. Sex is a multi-billion dollar industry. So the people that want to make, you know, money, they know these things. We live in a sexual society. There's no getting around it.
Most of your commercials on television are that way. It sells.
Yes, they are.
But see, it's like, see, like me watching porn, I like heterosexual sex, and then, you know, then lesbian sex, you know, two women together. Mm-hmm. You know, I see, if I was to see two men together, I'd shut it off because it don't float my boat.
All right.
Well, I know of a professor who lost his job because he was watching it at the university.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, getting himself off. And after security watched him do this for a week, he was in the process when they walked in on him and escorted him out the building.
So that goes to show that that probably was an addiction because he did it all week. And I know he just didn't start that Monday on that.
No.
You know, there was an addiction going on there because anytime you go to work and you're in front of your work computer, and they have these computers now so you can't go on certain sites, but if you're at work and you're going on your computer watching porn, there is a problem because they fired a guy here who pulled up child pornography. He was watching child pornography on his job. You know, you can't
do that.
You know, the
thing about child pornography is that the level of that is easy for something to be on your computer that is considered child pornography, and you didn't, like, if you have too many pictures of children in underwear and things such as that, all of that falls into that same category. Here in Chicago, we're going through a big thing with that, and well, they can call it what they want to call it, but it's rape. Well, I don't know. It's rape because it wasn't consensual. The hazing of these athletic teams, and in our northern suburbs, it's on the rap page. You got people losing their jobs right and left because they knew that it was happening and didn't stop it.
Mm.
Yeah,
and it's coming to light now.
But you know, see, this goes on all over the world. That's like a lot of these young ladies that come up missing. They're, you know, they're taken and sold into sex slaves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At 10 years old, 11 years old, babies being abducted, you know, being used in pedophile movies, you know, 2 and 3 year olds, and they're doing these things. It's like you sitting at work and you're on your computer on a sex site, it's picked up right away by IT. Because all the computers, because you need, I worked hotels for many, many years. And every computer in our hotel went directly to one spot. So they knew exactly what sites you were on every day, 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
If you went on a sex site, that light went off up there in IT. They located that computer and who that computer was registered to. And then they would monitor it. And then somebody just come down there. If you're on there like this time of night, somebody from IT, along with a security guard, just walk right around there to your office to make sure who's on that computer. They won't say anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you know one thing, that very next evening, you're going to be escorted up off that property because that's a no-no. You know, because
well,
I don't care what site you go to.
My sister's a librarian. Well, she's an associate. And she said, "Real, we can't stop them from getting on those sites. That's why they limit the limit it to only 30 minutes.
Right.
That you can be on because they can't, because it's a public library, they can't stop them from getting on those sites." And I was shocked at that. I didn't realize that. She said, yeah, the majority of the adult, well, they get a lot of adult males. The majority of the adult males that's in there during the day, that's exactly what they're in there to do.
And funny you should mention that, Rhea, because I wrote a short story in my book of erotic short stories. I wrote a story about this guy in the library that was watching porn, and a young lady that was sitting next to him, she sort of looked over at it. And so to make a long story short, they engaged in a sexual activity in an empty room in the library. So, yeah, that goes on in the library as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they watch porn in the library or anywhere that they can, Starbucks or, you know, whatever. But, it, you know, sex is so prevalent, and it's sex is just everything, commercials, cartoons, anywhere there's something going on, trust and believe, is sex involved. Even in a commercial, when you're scrubbing the floor, you're doing it so sensually. Or when the thing where the girl's unplugging, unstopping her zinc, the guy comes, I come to stop your drain, I come to do this. And, you know, so.
Yeah, with the cable guy.
So, yeah, everything is
nothing,
so sexual. You know, so a person. Pardon?
I say nothing but innuendos everywhere, you know, in all commercials.
Right. Right, so it's really basically no way you can get around it because it's there. So, okay.
No, I was just going to say, it's like even some of the kiddie commercials, it's the same thing, sexual innuendo. 12
right.
and 13-year-olds,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is crazy.
Yeah, they're starting them off young. So they can't, when they grow up and they're 10, 11 years old getting having babies, you know, who can you blame?
Sex industry. Right?
Yeah.
It's already been stated, it sells, regardless of the age.
Yep.
And that's where it is, where this country is. It's sad in this country of how women are treated in this country, especially black women.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you look at it now, every time you turn your television on, there's an Amber Alert. And nine times out of ten, it's for a young black girl.
Mm-hmm. And she's probably been abducted and sold in a sex slave.
Young black girls don't even make Amber Alerts. There's so many young black children out that they don't get Amber Alerts.
I know.
Here in Chicago, we had two sisters come up missing, and I don't know nothing about them, or anything else. But I will give my left arm that that's exactly what happened to them, and I believe the mama knows something about it. And
she may have been the one that sold them into it.
Well, see, this is the thing. She supposedly left them at home when she was going to do a drug run. Personally, I think she turned those girls over to her dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And they have enough information because they put his name out there and everything. They've never found those girls. And it's, I think it just hit the 10-year anniversary. No. It's a large number anniversary now.
It's longer than that.
I'm like, I can, it's like, that's exactly what I think happened, and I think majority of the time they moved over into foreign countries, especially Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
They do. Thailand, yep. Russia is big for it. And you just say all the Eastern Bloc countries, as they would say, like Russia, Germany, Romania, places like that, that's where those girls are sold into slavery at. You know, Thailand in the Middle East, over there, rather than the Far East. Thailand, Vietnam, you know, Saigon and places like that, because, see, those countries were known for this stuff.
Yep.
And they have more porn sites and more porn videos out there than this country could ever think about producing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, that's the thing, because see, in a lot of those countries, see, sex is free. Prostitution is free. You know, where, I won't say
free. Yeah, and legal.
You don't get jail time for that. You know, it's legal. You know, they have those shops where you can walk up and down the street and pick a girl on a swing in the window.
Yep. And then a lot of times the politicians are involved in those things as well.
Oh, sure they are. That's how they get them girls out of this country.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them politicians get caught up, too, because there have been a few here in the last 10 years who done had their ass taken to jail because of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got one senator, you know, here's some girl done come up dead, and he knew exactly what happened to that girl. You know, everybody, you know, by working in these hotels, you know, these conventions, these political conventions come in, because I've done the Democratic National Convention here in Chicago twice,
mm-hmm.
and the
mm-hmm.
Republican Convention.
Mm-hmm.
And the
mm-hmm.
prostitutes that crawl all over the hotel. These
mm-hmm.
politicians, they disappear. You know, this Republican governor from this state or this Republican mayor from this little old hamlet over here. You know,
mm-hmm.
they have parties in the room. And then you got 15, 20 girls in the room. They're prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on every day.
Wow.
In Chicago, we got these big old major hotels here, you know, 1,800 rooms, you know, 2,500 rooms. You know, and they disappear anywhere in the hotel. You know, it's like I worked with the Chicago Bears for a number of years. When they hit the hotel on that Friday night, there'd be so many hookers walking around the hotel, it's pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of these athletes, you know, that's just like now. I think it was this week or late last week where this kid, I think he's like 17 years old now, supposed to be Jordan's kid.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan
wow.
came out and disputed it. You know, you have these athletes when they hit, they watch porn, you know, and they get them girls up there in the room. They, you know, they drinking and drugging.
Yeah.
Prostitutes all over the place,
mm-hmm.
making babies. You know, that's just like mm-hmm. Magic Johnson come out years ago talking about he HIV positive. He was with a hooker.
Yeah.
I don't think he's HIV positive, but that's a whole nother conspiracy show.
First of all, I'm a Lakers fan and whatnot, so we not gonna be bashing Magic Johnson, man. That's my dude. Right there, man.
I'm not bashing him. I'm just
Magic
saying,
Johnson.
Like, I think he was paid off by the government to say he had HIV just to raise awareness. I don't think he's the healthiest AIDS person I've ever seen.
That's because he can afford the top notch care for it.
He can afford that drug.
Because HIV mm-hmm. is a man created, a man made disease anyway. The government
mm-hmm.
put that damn disease out here.
Yeah, and he probably had it, and they were like, "Why don't you just come out and say, tell everyone you had it, and be the spokesman, you know, per se, and we'll give you a gang of money so you can buy Starbucks, and then we'll give you the cure."
Mm-hmm. Okay, co-hosts and listeners, I'm going to read an 11-question porn addicted quiz, and I'd love for you to jot down on a sheet of paper yes or no to each of the questions. Keep in mind that this quiz is for your own personal assessments, and you don't have to share if you choose not to. So, okay, the first question is, I often feel guilty or shameful after I view pornography. Is that yes or no? The second question is, in the past, I had promised myself I would never view pornography again. Is that a yes or no? The third one, I often find myself changing channels on TV to find sexually arousing images. Number four, I worry about what would happen if someone should discover my pornography collection. Number five, I often look forward to being alone so that I may view pornography. Number six, my interest in pornography has negatively affected a significant relationship. Number seven, my interest in pornography has negatively affected me at work or financially. Number eight, I often feel ashamed of the quality or type of pornography I look at. Number nine, I use pornography to feel better when I'm not feeling well. Number 10, I often prefer pornography to having sex with my romantic partner. Number 11, the quality or intensity of the pornography I view has increased over time. If you have answered yes to six or more questions, then you may want to be further evaluated to determine if you are a porn addict. Your answer to the quiz suggests that you may have an addiction to pornography. It's very normal to be attracted to arousing images. However, when attraction turns to addiction, the positive aspects are lose the damaging negative aspects. Given the immediacy and provisions of pornography these days, this is an easy addiction to fall into. It is important to understand that pornography addiction is often a way of coping with other life stresses and depressions. The good news is that pornography addiction can be treated. Based on the results of your quiz, if you answer six or more, you may want to seek out help to reduce the negative effects of pornography. With treatment, people are often able to lead fulfilling lives with room for healthy sexuality. So, and if, you know, any ladies who are listening, you know, via iPhones or whatever, if you would like help, you can go to a website. It's called Dirty Girls Ministries. Now, don't be thrown by the name. The website name is designed to attract people searching for pornography. And that's dirtygirlministries.com. And both men and women can go to www.ara-a.org/ipornography-addiction.htm. Recovery Anonymous. But, you know, some people, you know, will be in denial, or some people don't want to admit it, you know, because there are things that people really feel shameful for, but they, you know, feel so shame about it, so they don't want to admit it, and that causes denial, and you may sink deeper and deeper into that addiction. But, you know, my thing is, if you want help, you know, try to get help, because I used to be a drug addict for many years, and once I had admitted it to myself, you know, it was a whole different ballgame. But as long as I was in denial, because, you know, people saying, well, you're a drug addict. No, I'm not, because I don't do it that much. And when I do it, you know, making all of your excuses and being in denial. But once I admitted it to myself and got God involved in it, that's when, you know, things turned around in my life. And I've been drug-free for 30 years now. And I have no intentions of ever getting back on drugs. Huh?
That's good. 30 years is good.
Right, and you know how people say never? Well, I'm going to say never because, number one, God brought me this far. And as long as I seek him and let him know, he knows me before I do anything. But I've never even had the urge or even the thoughts, you know. Sometimes I'm still going through withdrawals. But like I said, I put God in front of it. Huh?
Still now?
Yeah, because... You know, sometimes maybe if they have something on television, you know, somebody's doing drugs, if I'm watching a documentary, because the withdrawals are if you dream about it. You know, I'm not having the shakes or anything like that because I was a crackhead, addicted to crack. But, you know, the withdrawals from that is you dream about it. And, you know, ever so often, you know, I may have a dream. If I see somebody on television, you know, smoking crack or whatever, I may have a dream. But in the dreams, and this is the crazy thing about it, in the dreams, I always dream that when the pipe is passed to me, it's always empty. So I never get a draw or anything like that. But I will never, ever go back to doing drugs again, number one, because I feel that if I do, it would kill me. And I'm not ready to die. And then the drugs are not like the drugs used to be, you know, because they're putting so many things in these drugs, Drano, this, that, you know, it's just crazy. So my drugging days have been over and they're behind me. And, you know, I sought help. I went to rehab. That didn't work, you know. So I just put it in God's hands and
let me
told him.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And just, you know, told him to take that addiction away. And he did. Not, you know, wasn't overnight or anything like that, but working with my prayers and with God, you know, he definitely took it away. So you were going to say what?
Sweetheart.
Huh?
I said congratulations, sweetheart.
Thank you. And I'm saying that to say any addiction that a person has, you could be addicted to pornography, addicted to drugs, addicted to gambling, addicted to this, that, blah. Trust and believe, if you really and honestly want to get rid of your addiction, first step is to admit that you have that addiction. And then if you can't get help by going to rehab and places like that, put it in a basket and give it to God, because God is almighty. And he's the number one healer. So anything, you know, and I tell people, they say, well, how in the world did you get off crack? And crack is one of the hardest substances to get off of. And I hear that methamphetamine is worse, but, you know, I never did meth. But crack, my God, you wake up in the morning, just like Richard Pryor said, that pipe will talk to you. It has talked to me, you know, so that's no joke. But like I said, I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And, you know, if
that's
you want to get rid of, huh?
I said that's going around, that feeling.
Yeah, but, you know, if you want to, you know, get rid of it, you just have to have faith. And, you know, if you want to seek counseling or whatever, and if that don't work, but, you know, always, you know, put things in, and give things to God, because he knows your heart. And if it's in your heart, he's going to work with you.
I commend the show on the announcements that you made about where to get help from. That was the same question I was attempting to ask when we had the sex toys show. And I said, if you have a person who has a problem, is there any mechanism for you to refer? That's all I meant. When you talk about something and when you get into something, the other responsible part is to finish it out. And if the ways you finish it out is by being able to, no, you ain't got to tell them. You don't have to say, but rather you send them to you can send them to a website where they can seek help. You can send them to a doctor. But if you're going to talk about something that has an addictive nature to it, you have to finish it out. And you just did on that responsible part by at least referring somebody somewhere. So if somebody is listening, they have somewhere to turn right now as they leave this show to seek help.
Right. So, does anybody have any closing remarks? Because we're getting ready to close this show out. I think this has been a very good show, very interesting show, and very enlightening show. So I'm hoping that the listeners out there, if you understood when I gave the website out, I'm going to repeat it again just in case. It's Dirty Girls Ministry. You go there and you can get help from there. Then there's another one, www.r-a.org/i-pornography-addiction.htm. Those are two other sites that you can go to if you want to seek help. And, my Savior was God. So, you know, everybody works out their own things the way that they do them. And, you know, I commend anybody who has an addiction and can get over it, because it's not like you can just say, I'm going to quit this today, I'm going to quit it tomorrow, because it doesn't work like that.
Well, if anyone who doesn't want to quit and he wants to read a little bit, visit my website, my blog, pinkbunny420.blogspot.com, where my writing and short stories are just like porn on paper, on website.
Right. Right, please visit her site, because it's a very interesting site. I've been over there. She does videos and everything. So we
get
a chance.
Well, if you want to watch something that make you interested, you can go to my site, and you can watch Munch the Mouth, and you can go to www.xvideos.com/profile/munchthemouth, and I'll give you some videos to watch. After you read Pink Bunny, then you want to see it, I can show you.
Well, all right.
Yeah, I don't have any porn videos, not yet.
Well, you know, like I said, this has been a very interesting show, and does anybody have any closing remarks?
Have a good
Did
night.
Everybody speak at once, huh?
Have a good night.
Okay.
Thank you for the input, and pretty much like Pink Bunny said, everybody have a good night.
Yeah, everybody have a good night, and we'll see you guys back here next Wednesday, 10:30 p.m. And I, you know, you see the shows posted on Facebook, and you can check back to my page here and see what we'll be talking about next Wednesday. And until then, everybody have a beautiful weekend. If you go out, don't drink and drive, and don't drive and drink. I like talking
Wrap
to you,
up.
Not about you. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, everybody have a good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. And thank you. Good night, everybody.